and welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. We have a fabulous show lined up for you today. We'll talk with Melissa and Ginger Patterson and Rhonda Gardiner about this Saturday morning's movies. Morning at the Movies with the Juno Co-op Preschool. We'll also find out about Saturday evening spaghetti dinner and auction for the Juno Special Olympics. We'll talk about Creatures of the Night at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. Ed Chamley will be here to highlight this Friday's showing of the ski and snowboard film. And we'll talk with Nancy DeCherney, as we do every Thursday, with Arts Up. And we'll hear Writer's Almanac and more here on Juno Afternoon. But first, the latest update from the AFN conference.
From the 2014 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage, I'm Jennifer Canfield. The 30th Annual Elders and Youth Conference began Monday in Anchorage. The gathering is hosted by the First Alaskans Institute each year during the same week as the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. When it came time for the keynote speeches, 17-year-old Devlin Anderstrom from Yakutat gave one to remember. Anderstrom introduced himself in his Tlingit language and then gave his entire 9-minute speech in it, never once slipping into English until he gave the speech a second time. Anderstrom says one of the reasons he's so dedicated to learning Tlingit is because some cultural values and ideas can only be truly expressed in their original language.
One of them would be Hashagun. So Hashagun, it's our ancestors, and at the same time, it's the future generations. Like, everything that we were and everything that we will be, and it's just kind of a hard concept to explain.
Anderstrom gave his speech after Elder Fred John Jr.'s keynote address. The conference room at the Tenaya Center had 1,300 chairs set up, and nearly all of them were full within an hour of starting the conference. The Tanana 4-H Club returned to the Elders and Youth Conference Tuesday, following up on their emotional presentation at last year's conference. The group's message is still the same. They don't always feel safe or cared for, and they want that to change. But now they're also taking a stand against marijuana legalization.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm 15 and I'm against legalizing marijuana. I may be young, but I'm already sick of the negative effect that marijuana has done to my community. It has destroyed my village. We have crime and outstanding teen usage.
Voters will decide on ballot measure 2 in November. As the legalization initiative is written, if voters approve legal pot, there is nothing stopping people from bringing it into villages. When it comes to alcohol, communities can choose to allow importation but ban sales, or they can completely ban it altogether. With marijuana, only incorporated municipalities have local control over only retail sales. Villages have none. The law will allow for legal possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana and up to 6 plants. The Alaska Federation of Natives will consider a resolution Saturday opposing ballot measure 2. The Tanana 4-H Club will again take the stage this year at the AFN convention. The group is scheduled to present Thursday after the Elders and Youth Conference report is delivered. AFN delegates will vote on candidate endorsements Saturday morning. The organization's board of directors drafted 2 resolutions. One calls for the re-election of Senator Mark Begich, and the other endorses Bill Walker for governor and Byron Malott for lieutenant governor. Malott is a former president of AFN. Resolutions are typically decided with a voice vote. Roll call votes, however, are not unheard of. In that case, regional caucuses will discuss the resolution with their delegates, and a caucus leader will then cast the vote on behalf of each group. AFN co-chairs Tara Sweeney and Anna Hoffman are on opposite sides when it comes to the Senate race. Sweeney is the co-chair for the Sullivan campaign, and Hoffman has been actively involved in Begich's. AFN President Julie Kitka says Republican Lieutenant Governor candidate and Mayor of Anchorage Dan Sullivan is not skipping out on a convention election forum, as a press release from the Alaska Democratic Party claims. Kitka says the press release is false.
He was not disrespectful to AFN and the Native community by not participating. There was a glitch on the staff level. He did not get the formal invitation inviting him to participate. Sometimes this time of year, with all the things flying left and right, people get the wrong information.
In the press release, Democratic Party Chair Mike Wenstrup accuses Mayor Sullivan of dodging the debate because, quote, he can't defend the Parnell administration's offensive record on Alaska Native issues. Because of time restraints, Kika says the lieutenant governor candidates have been rescheduled to address the convention separately. Malott is scheduled to speak Friday at 3:30 p.m. Sullivan is scheduled for Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Each candidate will have 10 minutes to address the delegation. The mayor is also scheduled to give opening remarks to the convention on Thursday. From Anchorage, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
AFN newscast produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding provided by South Central Foundation, ConocoPhillips, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, Donlin Gold, the Rasmussen Foundation, Shalista Corporation, and Manalok Association, Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today's Thursday, October 23rd. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio with me, I have Melissa Patterson and Rhonda Gardiner. And I also actually have another little special guest who might not talk, but we'll see. Her name is Ginger Patterson. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So you're here to talk with us about something new going on. It's a fundraiser for the Juno Co-op Preschool, and it's Saturday's Morning at the Movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what is Saturday's Morning at the Movies?
We will show a series of film clips. Some will be just short segments, classic older movies that appeal to hopefully preschoolers and all ages.
Yeah. And when is it?
It's going to be this Saturday morning, and actually this is the first in a series of showings that we're going to have, and it goes from
10:30 until 1:30.
Yeah.
So you don't have to come for the whole time because 3 hours is a long time. You can come anytime in there. So just come for the first hour or the last hour, whenever.
Mm-hmm. And it's every Saturday. It starts this Saturday, and it's actually 3 Saturdays, so once a month for 3 months.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And it's at the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
Yes. Yes. Actually, Melissa and some friends went and did a training on running the films with Colette. So, and it should be pretty familiar with a bunch of the kids and pretty comfortable. Do you get anything to eat, Ginger? Is there anything to eat there? Do you remember? For the movie?
Cookies and popcorn.
And your popcorn comes, you get a bag of popcorn with your admission, which is
$10 per person.
Mm-hmm. And then the cookies, we have a bake sale. So if the popcorn wasn't enough or you need a little sweet to counter the salt, then you can buy some cookies.
And so this is a benefit for the Juno Co-op Preschool, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the preschool.
We are a part-time, half-day preschool program, and we have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning class and a Tuesday, Thursday morning class, and we are set up to be a cooperative effort between teachers and parents and families so that every day there are two teachers in the classroom and there are two parents, and the parents alternate working through. So part of our job is working with kids and helping them figure out logistics, and the other part of our job is helping parents just figure out how to work with young children as well. So it's pretty fun. It's a very fun program.
And so a co-op meaning that you have to actually raise your own funds to continue.
We do. We're a nonprofit organization. So we have a registration and tuition for children to attend, but it doesn't cover expenses. So.
And so to actually stay, to keep this preschool open, you actually have to do things like this.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah. Yeah, we're required. This is one of several fundraisers that we do throughout the year, so.
And so is it something that people can drop their kids off, or do they need to come with a parent? How does that work?
That's a really good question.
We talked about the idea of, parents arranging trades with friends. So you can't just drop your kids off and run unless you have a friend who is willing to
be responsible
for them.
Yeah. And I think also you could say that if there are some, older kids who want to come and stuff, then we can help people determine whether or not that's a good idea. We're not there to watch 50 kids.
Yeah.
We're just providing entertainment for as many kids as want to show up.
So it's 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So it's actually a pretty sizable chunk of time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and so and we want that offer that partially because, you know, Saturdays for a lot of people are often errands times, and so this this just gives them some flexibility between shopping and practices and performances and all that to come in and spend some time watching movies, support the preschool, and then head off to do their other activities.
I'm a big cartoon fan. What do you got working?
Well, it's kind of a surprise.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mostly animated. Classic, ranging from the 1950s through some contemporary movies.
Ginger told me earlier.
Yep.
Some hints. Do you want to tell them the hints, Ginger? Do you want me to tell them the hints? Do you want to come tell them the hints about the showings? I like your one hint about how some of the characters will talk and what accent.
British.
There's going to be a British accent, some British accents in there. And what about creatures? Any particular creatures we'll have?
Two dogs and a cat.
Two dogs and a cat show up in these shows. We've been asked not to give titles of films. So.
Well, there you have it.
You just have to know. Classic animated.
You have to wait
animals.
Until Saturday. Yeah, there you go. British animated classic animals. Great. Does the Juno Co-op Preschool have a website or a Facebook page that people can find out, you know, because let's say they forget next month. We wouldn't want them to do that.
Yeah, do you know if it's posted on the web?
It's not, but we can post that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's junopreschool.org. Yes. JunoPreschool.org, all one word, yeah, and we'll have that up on the website.
Great. So this is Saturday, October 25th. That's this Saturday at the Gold Town Theater. It's a Saturday morning at the movies, classic kid movies and cartoons, and that runs actually three consecutive months in a row, and this is a benefit to keep the co-op preschool up and running, and they'll have lots of fun activities and some good treats for the kids, so you should definitely check that out. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks, Shona.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. And my next guests in the studio are Fubo and Claire. And they're here to talk about the Spaghetti Dinner and Auction benefit for the Juno Special Olympics. Welcome to the studio.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us along. We're here to tell you about the great fundraiser that we have on this Saturday night. It's the 10th annual spaghetti feed for the Juno Special Olympics, and it's also a dinner auction, as was mentioned. And the events at 4:30 to 7 o'clock on Saturday, October 25th, and it's at Thunder Mountain High School.
And this benefit has been going on for quite a few years,
yeah,
is that true?
10 years.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Are you a participant in the Special Olympics?
Yes, it's a really big deal for me.
What's your event?
Bowling.
Oh, nice, nice. So that you go up there and compete in bowling. And there's quite a big Juno contingent that actually goes to compete.
Yeah, but not... Well, again, make it clearly, it is not everyone is invited to compete because for 8 whole games.
All right. So, yes, so there's bowling in the fall, and then there's the local games for just the Juno team, and then there's a certain group of those people that will go to the regional competition in Anchorage in November. So it's pretty exciting. And some of the other activities they have for Special Olympics in Juneau, they have swimming, basketball, and track and field. So people are involved throughout the year. And this is their big fundraiser for all the Juneau Special Olympics activities. And it's a great activity to come out and have fun there and also to support the local athletes. And the tickets are $10, which is a great deal, and you can get the tickets at the door or from a volunteer ahead of time.
Great. And it's Saturday, you said?
Yes, Saturday.
What time?
You want to tell them what time?
4:30 to 7 o'clock.
So 4:30 to 7 p.m., that's this Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School.
Yes, it is. And then if people want to know more about the Special Olympics in Alaska, you can go to specialolympicsalaska.org. And you can find out contact information there for the Juneau Special Olympics, as well as information about the Alaska Special Olympics group.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on air. Did you want to tell us anything else about the Special Olympics?
Yes, it is. It is a lot of people need a lot of money to support their bowling alley, because in Juneau, we only able to rent one part of a bowling alley.
Yes, so right now every Sunday it's full of excitement down at the bowling alley. So, yes, so all the money stays here in Juneau, and it supports the bowling, the swimming, the basketball, and the track and field. So we hope the community can come out and support us, and we'll see you there.
Thank you very much.
On top of spaghetti.
On top of spaghetti.
All covered with cheese.
I lost my poor meatball.
When somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table. Tell you the words, you sing it back to me. On top of spaghetti.
On top of spaghetti.
All covered with cheese. I lost my poor meatball. When somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table. And onto the floor. And then my poor meatball. Rolled out of the garden.
And thank you for joining us this afternoon on Juneau Afternoon. It's Thursday, October 23rd. And in the studio with me, I have Nikki Hines and Hattie Inman. And they're here to talk about Creatures of the Night presentation that's happening at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so Creatures of the Night, is, I assume that it's Halloween themed, yes?
That is correct. Yeah. This year we're going to be focusing on nocturnal animals, so all animals that are going to be most active at nighttime.
So we're talking bats?
Bats, especially bats, and owls, even northern flying squirrels, which you might not think about it, but we can find those here in Juneau.
Really? And they like to do stuff at night?
They do. Most active at night.
And so what kind of information? Is it mostly information about what they do at night and their feeding habits, just about the animals in general, or how does that work?
Yeah, we're going to have several different activities throughout the day. So we have a lot of partners coming together this year from the community. So we'll have story time with librarians from Juneau Public Libraries. We'll also have Alaska Department of Fish and Game out talking about bats specifically. Discovery Southeast will be out leading some nature hikes, so they'll be talking about how animals have adapted to function at night, their nocturnal abilities, essentially. Throughout the day, we'll also be focusing on nocturnal animals with activities like nocturnal animal bingo. Also be meeting a barn owl with Juneau Raptor Center. So lots of fun stuff, really focusing on those animals that are really active at night.
And so this is mostly what day? Is it what time, and when can people expect to hear all about what's happening?
Yeah, so this is happening on Saturday, October 25th, and it starts at 10 a.m. but goes right up until 3:30. So it's all day of activities, and we have a detailed schedule that's out there. It's on our Facebook page. That's the easiest place to find it, and that's the Forest Service-Tongass National Forest is where you'd find that on Facebook, or you could always call the Visitor Center itself, and that's 907-789-0097 to get more information about this activity and this event.
I have a friend that works for Fish and Game and heard some really cool bat information, or some really neat bats were found here lately.
Yeah, so we actually are focusing on bats, and that has a lot to do with the fact that this is coming up to be National Bat Week. So the Forest Service has partnered with different agencies and nonprofits all over the nation trying to let people know the importance of bats, especially with white nose syndrome happening in the lower 48. We're pretty lucky up here in Juneau, and in Alaska there's been no cases of it at this time, but really trying to get the word out there and asking educators to talk about bats. And we do have most commonly little brown bats around Juneau, and a number of research sites, Mendenhall Glacier is actually one of them, that ADF&G will come out and do research and figure out where bats are and what's going on around the area.
What is white nose syndrome?
Yeah, so white nose syndrome is a fungus that they're finding in different bat habitats and bat caves and different areas, and once one bat gets it, it seems to spread throughout the colony. So it's mostly on the East Coast at this point, and trying to figure out how to stop it, because it's really detrimental to the bat populations once it does get into that colony. But it is related to a fungus.
And it just hasn't been found up here, so we're trying to educate people and so they know what's going on with the bats here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you could actually learn a whole lot about bats just in general, about what, because I didn't really, I haven't really thought about what bats do for, what they do, really.
Yeah. Bats here, all of the Juneau bats are insectivores, which means they eat strictly insects. So they're
love
out there taking
that.
Mosquitoes out of the night sky. So right there, bats are great.
Yeah, done. Yeah, great. And so you said the Facebook page is the best place to check out more information. And is there a schedule of activities for the day up there?
Correct. Yep, that's where that's posted, is right on that Facebook page.
Great. And I love that it's called Creatures of the Night. That seems like a lot of fun, as it's Halloween coming up here. Yeah, and I imagine that was the focus, yes?
That was our plan. I think it worked out great.
Sometimes it's hard to, people hear bat cave and they can only really think of one thing, but you are actually talking about bat caves.
Yeah. Yep, bat caves will be bringing focus on a lot of other animals you don't normally think about too here in Juneau.
And I did ask, before we came on air, we were just chatting for a moment, and I did ask if this was part of the Fireside Chat Lecture Series, and it's actually not part of that series. So it's its own kind of standalone thing, but you can look for that series coming up here.
Yeah, so Firesides will start in January, so there's not a schedule out yet, but keep an eye on our website with mendenhallglacier.net, and that will eventually post the Fireside schedule, but probably not till sometime into December will that be a finalized schedule.
In the meantime, you can check out the nocturnal events that are happening this Saturday as part of the Creatures of the Night festivities at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, and check out their Facebook page for more information. Nikki and Hattie, thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. And before we hear from our next guest, we'll hear Writer's Almanac from Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 23rd of October, 2014. It was on this date, 1978, the book The Stories of John Cheever was published by Alfred A. Knopf. John Cheever, who said, "For me, a page of good prose is where one hears the rain. A page of good prose is when one hears the noise of battle. A page of good prose seems to me the most serious dialogue that well-informed and intelligent men and women carry on today in their endeavor to make sure that the fires of this planet burn peaceably. Fiction is art, and art is the triumph over chaos. To celebrate a world that lies spread out around us like a bewildering and stupendous dream." It was on this date in 1920, Sinclair Lewis's novel Main Street was published, set in the fictional town of Gopher City, Minnesota. In the book, Sinclair Lewis wrote, "All this working land was turned into exuberance by the light. The sunshine was dizzy on open stubble. Shadows from immense cumulus clouds were forever sliding across low mounds, and the sky was wider and loftier and more resolutely blue than the sky of cities. It's a glorious country, a land to be big in." And it's the birthday of Michael Crichton, born in Chicago, 1942, who liked to write, went off to Harvard to be an English major, but one of his professors kept giving him C's on papers, and so for an assignment on Gulliver's Travels, Crichton turned in an essay written not by him but by George Orwell, and the professor gave him a B- on that. And so Crichton figured he may as well not major in English. Went on to medical school. He started writing novels to make some extra money. His first, entitled Odds On, in 1966. And then other novels about the unintended consequences of science or technology gone too far. And it's the birthday of the poet Robert Bridges, born in Walmer, England, 1844. Born into a wealthy family, he planned that he was going to work as a doctor until he turned 40, and then he would retire, and having learned something about human nature, he would write poetry. But he got sick with a lung problem, had to retire early, spent decades working on his poetry, produced limited editions, expensive limited editions of his poetry. In 1925, his daughter died, and after her death, he worked on a poem in her honor, The Testament of Beauty. It came out in 1929, just about 6 months before his death. Many people consider it his greatest work. Here's a poem by Robert Bridges on his birthday. "I love all beauteous things. I love all beauteous things. I seek and adore them. God hath no better praise, and man in his hasty days is honored for them. I too will something make, and joy in the making. although tomorrow it seem like the empty words of a dream remembered on waking. I Love All Beauteous Things by Robert Bridges. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shauna Strasser. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. And my next guests in the studio are Ed Shamley and Craig. And they're here to talk about the film Almost Ablaze at Rockwell. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Oh, thanks for having us here.
So this film Almost Ablaze is actually ski and snowboard good stuff.
Big adventures, yes.
Yeah, and it's actually, so if you want to talk a little, Ed, a little bit about the film, and because a lot of these big adventure snowboard and skiing films are actually done here in Southeast.
Yeah, and the company that's putting this film together, the production company, is called Teton Gravity Research, and they've filmed quite a bit in the Juneau area over the years. This is actually the second movie that they've shot in the Juneau area in the past 4 years, and I guess the first big opening scene in the film this year is a big Juneau segment that was shot just south of the Taku River. So yeah, it should be good to see some local footage.
That's awesome. And you said that you all are part of Alaska Powder Descents, and does that company usually kind of help in the filming with Teton Gravity?
Well, it depends on where they want to shoot at. In years past, TGR has shot within our permit area, which is basically most of the Juneau ice field. For this film, quite a bit of the area that they were filming footage in was on the south side of the Taku, which is just outside of our usual permit range, but the Forest Service has really helped us out quite a bit as far as granting supplemental film permits for TGR to go into these areas and explore new terrain and get some really really cool shots and some pretty out there terrain.
Would we happen to see either of you gentlemen in these films?
I haven't guided on the film, but one of our local guides, Johnny Brissett, has filmed he guided a little bit for this production, and Kent Sheeler is a local Juneau guy who went to UAS here and now lives in Anchorage, but he's the lead guide for TGR, so he is definitely heavy in the mix for the production of these movies.
And usually what happens as far as the athletes that are on film, those folks are guided by people like us that are professionals in the mountains. We focus on avalanche safety, terrain selection, hazard evaluation, and risk mitigation for them so that these wild and crazy athletes can go and do their thing. And so we help provide a reasonable safety net for them, and we are behind the scenes.
So you're actually kind of making them look good, really.
We do our best. We do our best. They're pretty talented as it is, but yeah, we just help them make good decisions. And then, we're there to in a support role in a lot of ways. But it is a lot of fun. There are many of us on the guide staff at Alaska Powder Descents who work on film projects in this area and in other parts of the state as well. So it's something that we're very proud of participating in at that level. And it's a really fun opportunity for us to have a venue like the Rockwell open up so we can share this excitement with other folks. And so, you know, Alaska Powder Descents, we're super thankful that we get to operate in an amazing area as this, and we work in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service to be able to do that. And as Ed was saying, because of the close working relationship that we have, we're able to accommodate film crews like Teton Gravity Research and help them make these amazing things happen.
So Almost Ablaze is the name of this film, and you have showings tomorrow night, and that's Friday night, at Rockwell. Can you talk about the time and the cost and all the details?
Sure, yeah. So we have two showings tomorrow night. First showing, the doors open at 5:30 for a 6 p.m. showing, and that's an all-ages showing. There's going to be food available. I think there'll be food for sale up in the ballroom. baked mac and cheese and chili, I believe. And Rockwell also has opened up their dining area downstairs. It looks really nice down there. So if you have a little bit of time, either before or after the movie, check out their new menu. And then we have a late showing, doors opening at 8 p.m., starting at 8:30 for a 21 and older event that might be a little bit more rowdy.
So have you guys already previewed this film?
Not yet. No, some of the other guys at APD have seen it, and they are really excited about it. And the film itself has won a number of awards. It won first at the International Free Ski Film Festival, and it's picking up a number of awards from a number of different countries, so it's doing really well.
What is Almost Ablaze? You know, I always wonder, so how do you get the titles for these kinds of things? And do they, when they go into filming in something called Almost Ablaze, do they actually think about what that, you know, are they like, okay, we're going to fire up this mountain? I don't know.
So Teton Gravity Research has been making films since 1996, and so their first one was called Continuum. Their second one was called Harvest, and they do tie in a thematic element through the film. And so I have yet to see this film, so I'm very excited to see it, and the story will be told to us through those filmmakers, so we're excited to see that and how that all comes together. But I imagine that they've got some pretty exciting elements for us to pull together. Oh, and also the tickets are going to be on sale in advance purchase price of $12. You can pick those up from a number of shops here locally. Nugget Alaska Outfitter, Sequence Board Shop, Foggy Mountain Shop, Aurora Project, Borderline, The Rookery, Rockwell, and The Rock Dump. So you can get around to various parts of town and pick up tickets from any of those folks who are proud supporters of this. And if you're unable to do so, you can pick up a ticket at the door for $15 tomorrow.
Yeah, and a number of those companies have donated some awesome door prizes, so we should be throwing a lot of that stuff out. And I think Temsco has also given us a couple generous door prizes, and I believe the form of helicopter-oriented door prizes. So we got a lot of stuff to be looking forward to during those showings.
So you guys do this kind of skiing and boarding, and I wonder, because every time I look at one of those films, I gasp, really. You know, I kind of lose my breath a little bit, and then I get all charged up and amped. And I'm wondering, you know, you've seen this kind of thing before. Do you guys still get, you know, the thrill from watching it, too, and get excited about it, or get ideas, maybe?
Yeah, I think to really keep on doing this kind of stuff year in and year out, it has to continue to get you excited in a positive kind of way. And it's really neat to see this stuff on a yearly basis. It seems like all these film companies are just really upping the bar. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really looking forward to seeing this film this year, because I'm sure that they're going to just continue on progressing the sport, as people keep on saying. But, yeah, it seems like every year people are really stepping up to the plate and really pushing what I guess the level of the sport in general is at.
Yeah, these ski movies have been coming for decades now with a variety of filmmakers. The progression, as Ed was referring to, has been very noticeable from year to year. And these types of films create a fantastic opportunity to be influenced and inspired by these athletes that you wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to go and ride with, say even live in the same town, because you know, can only go out in the field with so many people. And so to be able to get a view inside of that world and to get a sense of it, and then to be able to have it shown so beautifully and inspirationally, that it's part of the culture of these sports now. And it's often I think Greg Stump said it best, a famous filmmaker from some years ago, they're the accidental history books of our sport. And so you can look back and see where these different points of progression have happened and the things that have changed it. If you look at the modern ski and snowboard technology, they have changed so amazingly and allowed people more access and better, easier riding and more satisfying experience out there. And ski movies were a big part of that influence because they got to demonstrate to people what changes were happening.
Ed, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about Alaska Powdered Descents for people who actually don't know what it is.
Sure, yeah. So we're a local heli-skiing outfit based here in Juneau. We actually have one of the longest operating permits in the industry. So as of November 1st, if anyone wants to get in a helicopter, we're ready to go. And our season typically runs from the end of February until about mid-April. And we tend to be operating mostly on the Juneau Ice Field, and we're also permitted for the southern end of the Chilkats. So last year we were actually basing helicopters a little bit out of Excursion Inlet and flying helicopters from the cannery over there into the southern Chilkats as well. So we have a huge area that we're permitted to operate in, a whole lot of country, all kinds of terrain from advanced to fully expert. So if people want to just go out and ski good snow, that's an opportunity. Or, you know, we have more challenging terrain if people want to kind of step up to the plate a little bit more and challenge themselves.
And is there a website I'm imagining that people could check out, our Facebook page?
Yeah, definitely www.alaskapowder.com.
Awesome. And can we get the details one more time about tomorrow night? Because you have two showings. One's family-friendly, one's 21 and up, tomorrow night.
So at 5:30, the doors open for the family-friendly viewing of Almost Ablaze. The showtime starts at 6 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, the doors open for the 8:30 showing, which is a 21 and over, adults only, a little bit more rowdy, a little bit more fun and frivolity, and there will be door prizes for each showing, and there will be food available and beer and wine for the etc. for the 21 and over. And again, $12 in advance at any of the aforementioned shop locations around town, or $15 at the door.
Awesome. And it's a perfect way to get inspired for this upcoming Eagle Crest season two. Maybe you're not the hardcore person like myself, but you still want to, you know, you want to get inspired for this fabulous ski season that's about to happen.
And season passes are on sale right now for Eagle Crest Ski Area.
Thank you, Craig and Ed. And yeah, best of luck tomorrow with the event. It sounds like a great time.
Thanks, yep. Shona.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser, and here in the studio, oh, I'm so glad I get to say this again. The one, the only, Ms. Nancy DeJourney. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, art's up.
Yep. It's starts up again.
Art is up all over
right.
the place.
All right. It is. It's starting to spread. I don't know.
Oh, no. I could take that so many places, but I'm just going to let it sit.
Be nice.
Yeah.
It's a family show. Okay. Well, where do you want to start with today? What do we got? The Fall Forum 2014, have you had these folks on, the Mexican Forum that's happening at UAS?
I don't know. I'm probably.
Probably something has happened about that, but we'll mention it just
please.
Because. All this week, I think it is, pretty much, there is a forum out at the UAS at the Egan Lecture Hall about our relationships with Mexico, and it's kind of... The overarching title is Do Fences Make Good Neighbors? And it starts tonight at 7 out at the Egan Lecture Hall, and then there'll be a whole series of different lectures and talks and whatnot that you can get involved in. I think there might be a film, quite a few things. So that's an interesting topic for us to be thinking about. Let's see. It's Tango Thursday out at Suite 907. It is here at 360, How Alaska Picks Its Judges. A forum.
Yes, with former Judge Carpinetti, retired Judge Carpinetti.
Right.
It's going to be, I think that's really fascinating.
It is kind of. I don't know that much about it, so I should come. You know, some places they elect them, which I believe we do, and you're always faced with this group of people, and the Bar Association says, we like this guy, or we don't like this guy, or girl, or whatever. Anyway, if you want to find out about that, and it's probably a good idea, because we're probably going to have to vote for some here pretty soon, you might come tonight at 7 p.m. to 360, the studio downstairs. Tomorrow, again, the Fall Forum continues. It starts at 2 out at the lecture hall, and the topic then is just called Neighbors. And at 3:30, the topic is about shared water, which is as the Southwest begins to have water problems, how are we going to negotiate water contracts between two countries that don't seem to be really getting along very well? So anyway, interesting stuff there. 6 p.m., Canadian Mining, What's at Stake for Alaska? That's over at Centennial Hall. There is the CIGLA Friday Social at Rockwell at 6. There is also at 6 the Transboundary Watershed Forum at Centennial Hall. Dan Hobson is playing live guitar at the Gold Room in case you just don't want to deal with all these tense things and you want to have a nice dinner. Go there. At 7 p.m., the lecture series continues with art, migration, and Mexican indigenous artist stuff. I think that might be when the film is. There's a filmmaker there. It's comedy weekend.
What do you mean?
Well, it says right here, comedy weekend from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and then it goes on some other rest of the weekend with Nick West and Morgan Jay from L.A., and the local comedian Angelo Catas, and this is out at Suite 907.
You know what? That's very cool.
No, it's funny.
I mean, right. Good point.
Okay.
That is very funny.
It is cool.
Well, I hope it's funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, Angelo Catas, he's a
he's
local.
Very funny.
He is really funny. I didn't know he did stand-up comedy.
He seemed like a normal... you know, but it's just true. We have a lot of really talented people here, and this is exciting to have folks coming to town and taking advantage of our groups, bringing people to the fore. Saturday is the big KTOO used record, CD, and video sale. So when's the last moment that I can drop my collection off? Are you finished taking collections for that? That's
yeah,
Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
I don't know.
I
wish I knew.
Okay.
I imagine that you could talk to Jeff Brown.
And get that information.
Might hook you up.
Yes. But if you need some, this is a great fundraiser for K2, and you find all kinds of things that you had forgotten about, gems, treasures.
Like videos. Like I had forgotten about videos until right now. So there you go.
Oh, dear. let's see. Maybe he's bringing us the news right now, Jeff.
What's the question?
What is the question? Is it too late to drop off things for the KTOO used record and CD thing?
Friday at 5 p.m.
Friday at 5 p.m. You got it, folks.
Always
all right.
An answer.
There it is.
I love when Jeff and Brown appears in the studio.
Saturday morning at 9 a.m. also, you can be out at the Egan Lecture Hall, and the topic will be NAFTA. Who's afraid of NAFTA? So,
oh, wow.
It's a continuation of the Mexican forum that they're having. 10 a.m. out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, Fall Fun Fest, Creatures of the Night. I bet they'll be about bats.
That's what they were here. They were here today, and we talked a lot about bats. Did you know that bats in Juneau, Nancy, are actually, they eat bugs, mm-hmm. actually. See, I did not know that.
What did you thought they eat?
I don't know.
Hair?
I've actually found a few bats in my hair.
No, they're good. Actually, bats are fun to have or good to have around because they eat bugs. So,
see, I did not know that. Yeah. I thought they ate, you know, vegetation and stuff.
Okay, then. So learn more about bats and how to... I know there's a lot of bats in the Twin Lakes area, for example. I remember that. For no reason.
But you could find out what reason if you go to Creatures of the Night on Saturday.
Yeah, and they must have them out at the Glacier Visitor Center, too. At 10:30 in the morning, from 10:30 until 1:30, there is Saturday Morning at the Movies. It's for kids and families. It's at Goldtown Nickelodeon. I tried to find out what movies they're showing, but it sounded like you can just come and go, drop in, see some stuff, and it may be a fundraiser for the charter school or something.
It's a fundraiser for the co-op preschool.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I tried to get the movies and information out of them, but they said it was top secret. So I'm assuming it's some classics that we haven't seen in a while.
Ooh.
They said two dogs and a cat talking in British accents.
Okay, then. And it says from noon to 3, it is the JCCS Fall Carnival, which is the community charter school. And they'll be having hot dogs and donuts and all sorts of sort of fall harvesty type things. So lots of things for the family to do. Study bats, go to the movies, go have donuts and hot dogs. It's just going to be a great Saturday. There is also the forum continues throughout the day out at the Egan Lecture Hall. And you can just go online either to the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council website or to the World Affairs Council. And they have the whole thing there with all the people that are going to be presenting. So there's a drawing workshop with Lucas Elliott, Building Characters, over at the Douglas Public Library from 1:15 to 5:15. There is the annual, 10th annual spaghetti feed and dinner dessert auction to benefit Special Olympics. That's from 4:30 to 7 at Thunder Mountain High School. From 5 to 7, there's another Harvest Festival, the ABC Preschool Harvest Festival. That's out at 5100 Glacier Highway. Roller Girls.
All right. Yes.
It's
the season.
Yes. A Nightmare on Egan Street at 7 p.m. to 10.
See what they did there?
Yeah.
See what they did there, Nancy? They're clever that way.
Yes, they are very good. They have the funniest names, too. It's at Centennial Hall. And by the way, I was just over at Centennial Hall, and guess what? They have new bathrooms.
No way.
Way. It's totally cool.
My folk festival experience will be completely different this year.
Everybody's experience at Centennial Hall, especially the females, is going to be completely different. They have these new bathrooms, and they're beautiful. They put them over there where the... Visitors Bureau used to be. Mm-hmm. They left a little bit of room, meeting room, but put in these really pretty restrooms. So I'm really excited about that. 7:30 to 11, it's a barn dance at St. Anne's Parish Hall. And the comedy weekend continues at 9 p.m. with Nick West. And at 9:30, it's the Blues Fusion Dance Party at Rockwell. So lots of things to do Saturday.
Who's the band at the Blues Party Fusion?
It didn't say.
Okay.
I didn't have that information. It might be on the website, and I just didn't catch it. Sunday morning, you got the ukulele jam again over at TK McGuire's. There is a painting party, Halloween Haunted House at Louise Miller Fine Arts Studio, Juno Jumper Satellite Program out at Glacier Valley, Holiday Pops. Can you believe it's already time to start rehearsing for Holiday Pops?
Oh, I was going to say, Holiday Pops, we're celebrating Halloween this year. I'm like, wait a second,
yes,
Nancy.
Yes, it's rehearsals, and they're starting at Northern Light United Church. So if you're interested in being involved, go there.
They only have 2 months.
I mean, it goes quickly.
Tis the season.
And you've got Thanksgiving in there and stuff, so it's, you just got to get started. There's a haunted hotel.
Yes. Where?
Well, oddly enough, it's not in a hotel. It's at the Douglas United Methodist Church, 4:30 to 7:30 on Sunday. Halloween, yay. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, it is the Juno Cabaret at Rockwell. And I want to say they have some singers in particular. I want to say Sherry Patterson, who is often with our gospel group, is going to be singing. And that woman has a voice, let me tell you. I mean, the rest of them do, too. But I'm excited to see Sherry getting involved. That's from 7 p.m. on Sunday at Rockwell. Let's see what's happening on Monday. If that wasn't a weekend to tire you out, in case you need some stuff, you can get your dance lessons on Monday, the Blues Fusion Partner dance lessons. It's time for the Marie Drake Planetarium. On Tuesday at 6:30, they're doing a session on Kronos and Saturn. The Marie Drake Planetarium is free. It's right downtown between Marie Drake and Harborview, and it's just something to take in. It's very exciting that there's a group of people in town that are making programming happen there. Let's see. There is, on Wednesday, the 29th, the JDHS Activities Sale-a-Palooza. I don't know what they're selling, but it must benefit the activities. There is also the, let's see, there's an economic plan town meeting at UAS, and there's Pickup Frisbee out at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse on Wednesday. And then Thursday, it's Spooky Family Movie Night at Douglas Public Library, but it is also the Ukulele Orchestra on Thursday night.
Thursday the 30th.
Thursday the 30th, the day before Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yep, we're really excited. It kicks off this is our 41st season for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. And I want to just say that the council is just ending its last year of a fifth-year strategic plan that it put together, and we need people's input on what we should do for the next 5 years. So there'll be a link on our website that you can click and fill out a little thing that says, I really like that you do this, I wish that you would do that, that sort of thing. It would be very helpful for us. We're going to be doing that work on November 9th. So take a little moment to think about what you wish the Arts Council was doing and what you like that the Arts Council does, and we'll do that. And I would have to say, also on Thursday, there is Theater at Latitude 58, How Things Happen in 3. That's happening at the Douglas Methodist Church. There is a Halloween skate, the 12th annual one, at the Treadwell Arena. Haven't we had an arena that long?
I guess so.
I guess so. So Thursday is a big, like I said, it's starting to, the season has hit.
Yeah, it's pre-Halloween. That's Thursday.
Yeah. And then it's Halloween.
Halloween Eve, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going to happen on Halloween. We should get ready.
What are you going to dress up as, Nancy?
I don't know. I haven't decided.
Do you?
It might be a robot. I'm just so inspired by the robots in our gallery. I have to say the robot exhibit, kids are totally enjoying this. If you have youngsters and you would like to bring them to see something, a lot of grandmas and kids have been in seeing the robots, and they are amazing. So it's a thing to do, and they'll be coming down at the end of the month. So come on in.
So definitely check that out, because the end of the month is just next Friday.
Yeah.
And can we talk a little bit about the ukulele? Because they will be here next Thursday, and I'll get to chat with them on air. But I did want to, there's still tickets available,
there
maybe?
There are still tickets available, lots of them. We are going to be doing a student show. They will be doing the student show Friday morning. And that is, unfortunately, sold out. So I'm trying to figure out how we'll work that one. We'll figure it out. But anyway, I can't remember how many people, 7 maybe, and they play all different kinds of ukuleles, big ones and little ones, and a real mixture of music. I was looking at some of their YouTubes that, like, start with one song and it wends its way through the group to like 3 or 4 other songs. They seem to be really proficient musicians, and I'm really excited about having them. all their posters have them in a little red Mini Cooper. I've noticed that, too.
You weren't biased at all by their publicity, I can tell.
No, not at all.
Not at all. You can find this calendar online at jahc.org, or also you can find it at
ktoo.org.
Nancy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See ya.
See you soon. And this is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. You can tune in to Juneau Afternoon tomorrow at Friday. That's Friday the 24th at 3 p.m. Have a great day.
We will be vigilant, but we will not run scared. We will be prudent, but we will not panic.
Canada, the day after the fatal shooting of a soldier in the capital, Ottawa.
It's Thursday, October 23rd, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Also in this hour, how different countries deal with the kind of threat posed by the Canadian gunmen.
What you really need is for your law...